The production of this episode came to reality thanks to the support of the Friedrich Naumann Foundation for Freedom in Jerusalem.
Let's talk for and about the LGBT communities around the world. I'm Michael Ross, and this is Straight Friendly. So usually in this podcast, we are talking about different communities and groups around the world. But in this special episode, we will be talking about one of the subjects that can be relevant to all of us, which is about dating. So this time, we have with us Reut. Hello, hello.
Hi.
We are recording live from Tel Aviv in Israel. And we have a crowd here. Hello to our crowd.
Woo! Welcome, welcome.
So we've been recording just before now. We were recording for your podcast before, and we are now recording another version for the Straight Friendly Global. And I have so many questions for you, Reut. But before I'll dive into the questions, I would say that in this episode, we will be talking what it's like to date men.
Yes, our favorite subject.
So we were talking about that both from a straight woman perspective and from another perspective of me, of a gay, queer, homosexual guy who also likes guys, just like you.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I feel like your perspective is better though.
I'm not sure about that.
The grass is greener.
So Reut, can you please tell us a bit about yourself and also about your podcast?
Hi guys. So I'm a content creator. I'm a social media expert. The podcast is called Banot, which means girls. And it talks about everything that has to do with femininity and sexuality and single life and couple life and motherhood and whatnot. And about men, a lot about men.
Men. So
men.
In this episode, we will be talking about the LGBT communities, but it will be mainly about men this time, because this is what we like.
Yeah. Like, I'm now in the phase that I hate them, but yeah.
So, Reut, I would love to ask you, what is the best way for you or for straight women to get and know and meet someone?
Well, I'm a very social person. Like, I can pick up a guy, whether it's to friend zone him later, because that's my shtick, or to really pick him up in a bar. But nowadays, I feel like it's definitely apps.
What does it mean?
Tinder. Our old friend Tinder.
So the dating app.
Yeah.
And since when did you start to use that?
So I'm very, like, I'm a newcomer. I'm a beginner. When I was living in the States, everybody told me to open the apps. Had I opened apps when I was in the States, I would probably, I would have stayed and not quit my PhD, because I was so alone there. And if I had apps and maybe I had met someone, I would have continued with the program. But instead I quit. I came back to Israel, came to Tel Aviv, opened it, I think 2 years ago, but I wasn't really on it completely. I normally use it not for, like, seriously dating.
So it's more like for meeting for a hookup?
I mean, I did have a boyfriend from an app, but I just, it's difficult. It's difficult for me to choose from a picture, you know?
Yeah. But you have also the option, you know, I think it's a bit different between the, like, the heteronormative society, the straight people, and the LGBT communities. Because for me, it seems sometimes that, like, it feels that it's maybe the only way almost to meet people, right?
If someone would hit on me on a party, like, the first reaction, if he taps on my shoulder, would be no. And I can look back and see that he's so hot, but I'm just like, no, you know? We want time. We don't want you to call us, supposedly, like, nowadays. We want you to text and let me think about when I want to reply and how I want to reply.
How much time does it take since the first time you start to talk with someone until you finally meet?
For me, it can be a week.
A week?
I'm super busy. What do you mean? Wait, is it a lot or less?
I think that...
Because when you meet, you go straight for the hookup, right? So it's like, I'm horny now. Could you come by? No?
Now. And it's better that... you will be less than 5 minutes of walking distance away. Oh my God, what a dream.
It's like a walking dildo.
It's definitely cheaper than buying a dildo. That's for sure.
This is like Amazon Prime 2-day delivery on ecstasy, you know?
I think that in the LGBT communities, and mainly within the gay communities, it became a kind of a normal thing to do. That you open the app and you talk with people, random people, and you immediately meet with them.
And your questions are also directed for, like, everything is directed towards this goal, right?
Like, even the chat. I mean, like, okay. What the chat of a typical chat on Grindr looks like, okay?
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Hi. Why am I picking a girl's voice?
Happening on Grindr. So try your masculine voice.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
My masculine voice is my normal voice. Because my normal voice is super low.
You know, I've said it before, but does anyone here knows the drag queen Shangela?
No. I'm the drag queen?
I'm not saying that you are a drag queen, but I can find some similarity between your... I love her.
Wait, I have to look her up. Let's look her up.
There's a puppy on your phone. It's really cute.
Look her up.
So what it looks like... Let's try to show what it looks like in normal chat. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
All good. How about you?
Horny. What are you up for?
No.
Are you top or bottom?
No.
Do you horse or you can come to home? What's the size of your... I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say that here. What's the size of your beep?
Wait, are we talking like length or
That's what it works like, no?
I can't believe you.
What does it, how's the chat on Tinder looks like?
No, like, hi, what are you doing for life, la, la, la. What are you looking for? It's always like this, what are you looking for? And that's like relationship, and then normally if a guy asks this, it's because he wants sex. And it doesn't care with who, basically.
Which is really interesting because for us, Tinder is kind of the more serious.
It's for relationships. How absurd. This is insane.
You know, one of the things which I have noticed, especially since COVID started, it felt to me like everyone around me are in open relationship.
It feels like all the gay people I know are in open relationships.
Well, I'm not sure about that. You know, I think that it mainly... I started to feel that since COVID. I have a theory about that. I think that what happened that because of all the quarantines and, you know, the tourism stopped. And less tourists arrived, less people were going outside of the country. So suddenly they had people who were hiding the fact that they are in open relationship. They had no other chance. And, you know, they could hold themselves for several weeks.
Yeah, but they couldn't help themselves.
But not for such a long time. But it really feels today like everyone around us on Grindr and the dating apps in some way, many of them are in open relationship.
I have a gay friend who said it. He was like, why everybody I speak to are like, we're only open.
A girlfriend?
No, a gay guy.
He's gay.
Yeah, and he said it as well.
But what it's like among your straight friends?
No, come on, we're boring as fuck.
Like once you're swiping on Tinder.
You see, once in every 100 people, I would see a couple looking for a third girl.
Really?
Or once in every 50 people, I would see a guy saying he's in an open relationship, only he's not. He's cheating on his wife, but she just doesn't know. Like,
Do they show their faces?
No, sometimes they just put like random pictures, like weird pictures, like, ugh.
You know, so in some way, it does explain for me something which we were talking about before, about that feeling that sometimes many straight people feel, that the things... among the LGBT communities are more open, right?
Yeah.
This is what it looks like from your side.
Yeah, it looks a bit greener in the sense that you don't have those social conventions that you have to uphold to. You don't have to be in a relationship. You can do whatever the fuck you want, you know? And for us, it's like the moment for a woman to come out and say, I want a friends with benefit, or I want to fuck buddy, or I don't want to get married. Those are big statements that require a lot of like balls.
But doesn't it affect you? Like, for instance, Do your parents or family know that you're using Tinder?
My mom knows because my mom is so desperate for me getting married. Okay,
so like
she doesn't even care. Like I always say, my mom is like, she's saying, I have this guy, he's 30, he's like, you know, she tells me all the bad things about him, and then she goes, but what do you care? Like, let me hook you up with
him. So everything is possible for her, at least you will find a sheikh.
Yeah, I think that when she went to Spain and she met this tour guide that she fell for, and he said he met his wife through Tinder, then she was like, you know, he said he got married through Tinder. You should do that. You know, and I once showed her the app and it was hilarious.
You know, I think it's really interesting because basically the first dating apps, they started among the LGBT communities.
Mm.
The reason for that is the fact that unlike heteronormative or straight people, many times, let's say like sitting in a bar like we're sitting now, or walking in the street, or even studying at the university or being in your workspace, you don't know if all the people around you, who's out.
Right. How would you know? Is the gay radar a real thing?
You're just taking a device. Okay?
Yeah, and you're
you
like,
plug it in.
Scan.
On. Okay. You're pressing on and it's like a radar. If you're moving it right and pressing it, beep, 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 beep.
Gay.
But basically this is what the apps are doing. And this is probably why it started in the LGBT communities, because there was a social need for that.
Right. To recognize each other.
Yeah, and like also let's take into consideration that like being an LGBT is being a minority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the different researchers shows that it's somewhere between 5-10%. Sometimes they say it's more. So let's say around 7% of the population. So let's say my chances of seeing someone in a bar,
right,
and having something maybe potential with, from the beginning, my potential is lower than yours.
You know what it reminds me? I heard that there are 5% vegans in Israel, and I have one vegan friend and she's not even from Israel. So it means like now it makes me realize it's like me meeting a vegan. It's so
meeting the minorities.
Vegan. No, but I understand the numbers. That what you're saying, like even me, I live here for so long, I don't have vegan friends. And so that's like meeting another gay person.
But you know, but then why, you know, sometimes okay, it looks like that the things are so open and stuff like that within the LGBT communities. But when I talk with many of my gay friends, they're really fed up with those apps. Because it many times it leads only for sex. You know, I think it's crazy because language has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And the differentiation which we have today between the words love and sex, it's like almost black and white,
right? It's either you want this one or this one.
Yes I think that actually for me, talking about the neighbor's grass, for me it looks like that there's much more potential to meet someone for a relationship,
definitely,
once being straight.
Yeah, I know people on Tinder that got married. Definitely.
Really?
Yes, for sure. Just because I mock it as being as, it's just, it's always in comparison to OkCupid or Bumble. It's always like these apps are only like, you won't go looking for sex on Bumble or OkCupid. But we also have alternatives. Like, what's the alternatives for you? Going to a gay bar?
Well, the fact is that we have less gay bars these days. Probably a lot because of those apps. So
yeah.
Things are really, really, really changing.
Yeah. And I can pick up a guy in the street or in like on the beach.
Yes.
And
also the fact for you being a woman.
Right.
So.
At least I have some sort of advantage. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would love to ask, in your podcast, you are dealing with sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Girls. Mm-hmm. You're talking with different girls.
Yeah.
About
and men. Yeah.
If there was one comedian there, I remember.
Yeah, but there was another guy. The episode is not out. He also talked about like everything that has to do with healthy masculinity.
What it's like to talk with straight guys in your podcast?
I bring the best, you know. But no, but you have to call them out on their shit. You know, it's like they haven't progressed. Like if we progressed and with Me Too and everything, These are not men. These are Israeli men. Let's keep in mind. So there are three steps.
So masculine. They've been in the army and all that.
No, but I don't get them. Like, just like the guys I'm dating, those are not the macho, like the Israeli macho. No, no. I'm bringing those gentle souls that will say, that will ask you a million times, can I undress you? And
oh, what a gentle question it is.
Yeah.
So,
but they're not as progressive, I would say this. I will say, they're only now, there is a book called Erot, which means awake, and it's a book about women. But there is a new book from the masculine perspective, and it's called Awakening, because men are in the process of awakening.
Straight men.
Straight men, totally. They're only now discovering their sexuality, and they're in the process.
For instance, what did you find in your podcast that they were discovering?
Like
what it was the more surprising thing for
that you don't have to be this one type of guy every time. You know, you don't have to be the passive, you don't have to be the aggressive, you can combine these two. And I feel like nowadays they're only now starting to navigate the world with this paradox. Like, as women, we know that in my job I have to be assertive, and with my kids I have to be this certain way, and then in some other times I have to be softer, you know. And I can navigate through these different perspective and layers in my personality because I've been doing it for years. But for men, I feel like only now they're starting to explore this variety of layers that they have within themselves.
I think there's a huge difference between the straight men and the gay men, because I think within the gay men discourse, the things are very open, maybe even too open.
Yeah, now you need to take it back a bit. Yeah.
Yes, yes. We are now going to take a short break.
Don't leave. It's just a musical break.
It's a musical break for the production. We would love to collect a few questions or opinions from the crowd, okay? If you want to mention your name, you're welcome. If you don't want to mention your name, that's okay. You can be part of the episode, basically. If you decide that not, and you just want to raise some question or subject, so feel free. But you can be also part of the episode. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Kobe from Tel Aviv. Thank you for being here. This is awesome. I have a question. We have this term slut shaming in the gay community, and it's a really bad thing. And I'm wondering if you have a similar term for the straight women who really just want to have sex, and how to not make it a bad thing.
Slutty sluts. Yeah.
That can be a compliment in the gay community sometimes.
I should just switch communities. I'm telling you. Because, you would get it from girls and from guys. I had one of my guy friends. We have a whole episode planned about it. It's called Why Women Feel Bad After One Night Stands. And I had this guy, I was post breakup, and I had this guy who was a rebound. The sexual relationship in my other relationship was really bad. So I felt like I deserve some good sex, and I deserve some good dick. And I met this black guy, and I deserve this. So then the second date that we went on, my friend heard that we're going on this date. He was like, and he understood we already hooked up. We already slept together. And I was like, oh my God, you slept with him on the first date? He was shocked. He couldn't believe it. I was like, well, yeah, why not? And then I found myself justifying it. Like, yeah, I'm post breakup. He's a rebound, blah, blah, blah. I don't want anything to do with him apart from sex. He was like, oh, you're such a champ. He's like, oh, you're such a giver. You're such a guy. You know, dude, I can be, why? Because guys want sex and women, are we that backwards? And this guy, I really perceived him as an open-minded guy, and I tried to educate him. The next time I met him, I told him, last time what you did to me, you really slut-shamed me. He's like, no, because I'm still I can't believe you did it. La, 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 la. This is how shocked they are if you sleep with someone on the first date.
He couldn't understand what you were saying to him. He didn't understand what was...
Dude, and he's so open. He's not even a monogamous type of person, you know? So it was really, for me... I left this encounter feeling really bad. Not about myself, bitch, no. About him.
So in some way, it's probably being... It's much more complicated
Yeah. I mean, because you can do whatever the fuck you want, basically.
Too much.
Yeah. You're like, let's try to have sex on the second day. With us, it's like, I can't even tell girls, forget about one night stands. They can slut shame you for loving sucking dick. Yeah. For sure. Like, oh my God, she loves it. In a negative connotation. What's wrong with it? If a man loves eating p***, would someone say anything? No. Fuck all of you. All of you slut shaming me.
You know, we had one episode on Straight Friendly Global where we were interviewing Professor Hannah Safran, who is a known scholar. She's one of the mother founders of the feminist movement in Israel. Mm. And she was telling that during the 70s, they really had to kind of make classes where they were talking about sexuality with other women. She said she started her PhD because she said there was a need for a book, for a guideline,
wow,
for women that they can explore their sexuality. Yeah. It doesn't mean necessarily that they're a kind of a tool, you know, a kind of a bottom.
It's not like just
a bottom
tool,
you know. There. To,
yeah, it's not like lay there. And when you're a wife, this is your, and I'm telling you, until today, you will hear mothers, fuck this. I have a relative that said that one of my relatives got divorced. And she said, yeah, because, you know, she didn't fulfill her wifely duties. Mm. You know, one of our duties was to lay there and provide for your sexual needs. And we have sexual needs? Hell no.
Well, I think that it's really, there's a kind of an integration of different definitions to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sexuality, roles in relationship, roles in kind of work you can do,
mm-hmm,
even in what you can wear, especially in more traditional places.
Yeah.
So do you think that discourse, which we're having, for instance, now, do you think it's something new? You think it's fashion?
Fashion? Like it's trendy to talk
about? Yeah.
I mean, like all things, yeah. Of course it's like trendy, like, my podcast is trendy. It's coming, you know, like everybody's talking about it. So I might as well open my mouth, which I do frequently. And like, I can't shut it up. So I might as well do it and talk about these things. But it's every time that I think we've done so much and we're in such a good place. Every time I see it, I still meet these other people that I feel like, oh no, we still have so much to do in this, you know, sphere.
Another question we have.
I have a question from the crowd, from someone that knows you both. And they say that...
We will not hook up. I've tried. I know.
Why
you're rooting
not?
For us. I know.
Why not?
And so this question comes from your experience from traveling the world. You both traveled a lot. So did you experience that there's differences between dating in Israel and dating abroad?
Yes. I think that dating abroad and having sex abroad is much more open. And I'm not just saying it because I lived in Brazil. In Europe, I mean, you know, what's slut shaming in Europe? Everybody does whatever they feel like, you know?
But you felt that also as a tourist.
But I lived abroad. I lived in Spain. I lived in Brazil. I lived in the States. Americans are much more open, even though we're very similar in a sense. They're
but
much more
open in what way? Like
in a way in that they're not going to be shocked if a girl would sleep with them, mm-hmm, first thing she meets them.
Yeah.
Not that it's good, not that it's bad, not that I do it, you know? It's just objectively, they don't have an opinion about it. Okay? Yeah, of course there is slut shaming there, but it's not like in Israel.
I also felt that we were talking about that before, that like once I was traveling in New York and in Canada, what was really surprising for me that few women approached me. Probably something with a gay doll was not working that well.
It's not surprising for me.
But for me, it was really shocking because it's something which never happens to me in my country, in Israel. Never ever.
I don't Never. Get it. You don't even strike me as the, like, my gaydar would be off with you if I met you in the street.
Like, among the gay guys in Israel, they find me, I have no idea why, but they find me very many times as masculine. Sometimes,
yes.
Sometimes not.
Totally.
But let's say the way women, straight women see me, or of course straight men, they don't see it like that. You know?
No, I see you as masculine compared to, I don't know, Like if I would see you in the street, I would never imagine. But you showed me your grinder and I thought a bunch of these people were straight. So I don't even know.
My bunch of people. You just saw lots of torsos and
it was a lovely
naked bodies.
Lovely minute what that was.
Which is also interesting because like once using Tinder, for instance, and seeing like from your app, you can see real people.
Yeah, we don't.
Although we meet for sex, unlike for us, but still, you see real people.
Even if it's for sex, we will never post pictures like the ones you see on Grindr. A picture of a guy showing his abs, like a gym selfie, is a turnoff. You're a douchebag, basically.
Oh, wow. That's like a basic need.
I know.
It's like I talked with my friends not long ago and we were discussing like, shall I send a naked photo of mine or not? And I disagree doing that, but among my friends, I think I'm probably one of the only, if not the only, but they were they're doing it. Yes, of course. It's so like it's a condition.
No, so here
if you want to meet
a lawsuit on your hand.
It's
that's sexual harassment in the straight world.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to listen. I love the male body. I love those tushies. Give me a tushy and I'll be a happy woman. But if you send me your they're precedent. I can sue your ass. And I will, trust me.
I think you can see it also once going out to parties. Have you ever been in a gay party?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's probably like many times women find it as a safe place because
totally. No one is. I mean, and not safe for me because they really tear me apart there. Like, this is what you're wearing. This is what you're... No, like, tear me apart. Like, you know, right. They burn me, you know? They're being really catty and bitchy with me. Yeah. But no, but it's totally safer. And the music is amazing. So
I agree. Yeah. The music, I definitely agree.
Sharon here was asking, what about sexual harassment or to a sense, like, bad reactions when you go on dates or in the apps? They sometimes... They're really, really nasty.
Really? They're not so gentlemen.
No, like, I mean, we get it. Like, if a guy, you would tell him no, at some point he can call you a slut. He can say you're divorced. Who's going to look at you? He can say, they say nasty shit on Tinder. We have a whole group called Machlikot Smola, and people post the fucking nasty thing.
Like swiping.
Swipe left.
Right.
Yeah. We call it swipe left. And it's like all swipe, the nasty
swiping
things.
Against.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the nasty things that men say when you reject them. Basically, you say, listen, I don't think we're vibing, blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, you f***ing whore. You start, like, name call you, say to you, like, I wish you would die.
Oh, my God.
I read a text from a guy that said, I want you to pay me back for the drinks.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's insane.
Because why?
Because she turned him down. After one date or like even in the phase where you're just texting, he goes, you're 35. You'll never going to find someone. This is why you're still in the app. You're always going to be single. You're a loser. You're like bad thing.
It's common.
I mean, listen, we have a group with 10,000 people that post. I mean, we get like at least one post a day, right? At least.
Oh my God. So for me, this is really surprising. I had no idea.
But you don't have it? If you say no to someone, is he...
It, you know, it happens maybe sometimes. For me, it's quite rare. I think that what I feel more, but like sometimes I'm not answering all the messages.
Right.
And you know, sometimes there's a question, like if there's someone who I'm seeing in the app and maybe he's not my taste, should I reply to him or not?
I would prefer not. I don't need you to explain to me why you don't like me.
Really?
If we're not in this stage, I know a lot of people say like someone would hit on me on Facebook. And I asked guy friend, like, should I answer it him and tell him, like, no, I'm not single, just as a lie. Just why would I tell him, no, you're not my type? It doesn't affect, it's not to him, it's not his problem, it's mine. You know, like, there's nothing he can do about it. So why would I, maybe it's just leave it out unanswered.
For me, it many times happens that if I answer someone that I'm not interested, I say, like, you're really cute or you're really hot.
But
you're not my type, and I wish you good luck.
No, then a guy would never be, it will never suffice. With straights, they have this conquest. They would be like, why? Or I had a guy saying to me, sucks for you, you missed out on the best sex you could have in your life. Bitch, please,
sometimes it happens.
If
it happens
you
sometimes.
Know where I've been
oh,
and who I've been
what
with.
She was doing there. what you could do.
No, come on.
But people, I find many times the people, once I'm writing that to them, they're really thankful. They're writing me, wow, you know, it's so nice suddenly to see someone who's so nice in this
because app. Your app, I feel like, is so cruel and cold and, you know, and hot.
And,
and at the same time.
I think that, like, summing up this episode and our discourse, I think that the an interesting message that we can have here, and one of things which I learned talking with you and learning from also from your experience being a straight woman talking with probably with guys and straight guys, that it feels that there are differences.
Yeah.
But what is maybe similar is the fact that in some way things are getting more open, but also that there's a lot of bullying. There's a lot of violence.
Yeah.
People can hide behind profiles and do whatever they want.
Yeah. As long as you have a keyboard, you have the power.
So what message can we have for our listeners?
First of all, don't take anything personally. I don't. Always put yourself in someone else's shoes. And like, if someone rejects you, it says nothing about you, your personality, your looks, nothing.
I definitely, definitely, definitely agree with you, Reut from the podcast Benot. Thank you very, very, very much, Reut.
Thank you, guys. Obrigada, todo mundo.
This was another episode of Straight Friendly Global. You can find more episodes and listen to our podcast on your favorite listening app, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Echo Podcasts, Alexa Media Player, Google Podcasts, and so on.